You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's estimated that every year 36,000 New Zealanders sustain a traumatic brain injury, with 95% of those being mild in severity. A recently published study conducted by Auckland University of Technology and the University of Waikato showed the long-term effects of mild traumatic brain injuries. I spoke with Professor Nicola Starkey from the University of Waikato about the study and began by asking her to give me an outline of how the study works.
We were wanting to look at long-term outcomes from concussion, and in 2010 we did a study looking at the incidence of traumatic brain injury in New Zealand, and the study is actually reporting the findings of the eight-year outcomes for the people who had a mild traumatic brain injury or a concussion. And we also recruited a group of people who hadn't had an injury for comparison purposes.
And so during the original study, were the mild concussions linked to anything in particular, like sports?
Well, actually, some of them were sport-related, but actually most concussions aren't sports-related. So unlike what we tend to see in the press, I think if you ask people about concussion, I think most people think concussion happens from rugby injuries or maybe in the US from American football. But we were particularly interested in how concussion affects the general population. Most concussions are caused by falls. They're not typically caused by, people playing sport. So concussions are caused by lots of different reasons other than sport. I mean, yeah, some were sport, but most of them weren't. It was mainly falls.
And so in the most recent longitudinal study, what were the most prevalent results?
We actually found that even 8 years post-injury, people with concussion were still have much higher rates and more severe what we call post-concussive symptoms. So these are things like it can be nausea, fatigue, headache, dizziness, sensitivity to light and noise. And also they had higher rates of depression. So we were quite surprised, and there didn't seem to be any great improvement from our findings at 4 years post-injury. So it does seem that concussion may have this longitudinal, long-term effect. We're not entirely sure why. It could be because it's linked to there being quite a lot of undiagnosed mood disorders in the population. We know that quite a few people in our study did have, we only used questionnaires, so we weren't doing clinical interviews, but their scores on some of the depression scales that we used were indicative of almost clinical, they met the clinical cutoffs for depression. It could well be that some of the symptoms are linked to mood disorders as well as the concussion. So I think it really highlights that if people aren't feeling well after a concussion that they need to go get help, even if it's sometime from the injury.
And were there any particular sort of subgroups that these were more prevalent in?
Yeah, so we were actually, there's been a lot of research done on, more recently there's been a lot more interest looking at outcomes in men and women and differences in outcomes. We do know that for an injury of the same force, women tend to have worse outcomes and worse symptoms, mainly because their neck is not as strong as in men, so their brain essentially bounces around inside their skull a bit more if they get a knock to the head. The research around outcomes for men and women and whether there are any differences is actually quite unclear. Some people have found that being female is protective because of female hormones, whereas other people have found that, there are no differences at all. So we were interested in looking at these differences. We actually found that essentially females did have poorer outcomes, and particularly women who'd had repeated mild traumatic brain injuries. So people who'd had multiple concussions prior to kind of the index concussion that we identified 8 years ago, had the poorest outcomes by far. So they had much higher rates of meeting the cutoffs for post-concussive symptoms, post-concussive syndrome, and also depression and PTSD. Repeated concussions in women, so the women with repeated concussions essentially had the worst outcomes.
In terms of physical post-concussive symptoms versus mental health ones, was there one that seemed more prevalent, like there was more mental health concerns than physical concerns?
Because of the types of measures we took, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, there's an overlap between post-concussive symptoms and mental health symptoms, so a post-concussive symptom is fatigue and also issues with sleeping and things like that, and those are also symptoms of depression. So it's really hard to say which was worse. There were a greater proportion of people make the cutoffs for post-concussive symptoms than depression symptoms, but as I say, there is an overlap, and post-concussive symptoms occur in day-to-day life too. So it's actually kind of hard to say, but the two do seem to be related in some way. So as you can imagine, if someone's having, you know, kind of chronic headache, struggling sleeping, in lots of ways it's not surprising that they're showing depressive symptoms, because it just makes life quite difficult and, you know, I guess uncomfortable, really.
And are there any similar longitudinal studies like this regarding concussions?
There's a couple of studies that are being conducted overseas. There's a Centre TBI study, but they are, I think, possibly maybe a couple of years behind our study. So this cohort, the eight-year outcome study was actually done in 2008. It's just taken a while to write it up. So we do actually have, we have actually been collecting data for the 10-year outcome study. So far as I know, this is probably one of the cohort that's been followed at the longest for a general population study, rather than, you know, where we've actually proactively followed people from the concussion for many years later. It's not a retrospective study.
So is the 10-year collection study being done a bit differently in terms of like not using questionnaires?
We're actually, the 10-year data collection, we're using some questionnaires, but also our aim was actually to do some in-person assessments. It really depends on the people's, I'm not the lead for the 10-year outcome study. It's Alice Theodom at AUT. And a lot of the time it really depends on what people prefer. Would they actually prefer for us to go see them in person? The 10-year outcome study also included some assessment of cognitive function and also social ability, looking at social cues and social impairments too.
Do you think that this study will help people with long-term treatment for concussions?
I'm hoping that it will make people aware that if they're still having symptoms or if they're not feeling well, to actually go to the doctor and seek help. And I'm hoping it will also mean that when people visit the doctors after having a concussion, it will highlight to them that actually women who've had repeated injuries tend to be at poorer risk of long-term outcomes, and that they might need early intervention, or at least people will be aware that there's a potential that their symptoms could last some time. But to put it in context, I should actually say that most people recover well after a concussion. It's not that this isn't the majority of people who have ongoing symptoms. Most people will recover well and go back to feeling perfectly fine within about 3 or 4 weeks. It's just really that crucial period of time straight after the concussion where you just need to be careful not to put yourself at risk of getting another one before the first one's fully healed, and really not to do too much too soon.
That was Professor Nicholas Starkey from the University of Waikato speaking about the long-term effects of mild traumatic brain injuries.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.